News Radio WJPF, Treasurer Michael Frerichs on the other end of the line. Hey, Michael, how you been, buddy?
Tom, I've been great. How about yourself?
Well, you know, I'm as good as anybody can do when they're up to their nose in state news every day. So I'm as mentally healthy as possible.
You are right. There is a lot of it out there. It is being piled on higher and deeper.
And I tell you what, one of the things that since there's so much, you always look at measuring sticks. And junk bond status and your recent comments about the bill stacking up is another one of those. When I look at big measuring sticks, I look to this and our status. And quite frankly, I don't know if free fall is a good word, but it may be reasonably accurate.
I think it might be. And that's why I spoke up. I've been sending letters to governor's office warning about this for over the last year. And the rating agencies have made it fairly clear. If we go through May 31st without a budget in place, they will have lost faith that our legislators and our governor can do that most basic part of government, which is passing a budget. And that will probably mean we'll be downgraded to junk status. And some people say, well, that's just not going to happen. I think they've made it fairly clear it's going to. And people say, well, what difference does it make to me? Well, every time the governor goes out and issues more debt, and they've done that several times, every time they do that, we pay far more in interest than any other state. When you hit junk bond status, we're going to pay significantly more because there'll be some institutional investors that cannot buy our debt. They'll be prohibited from buying debt that is rated as junk bonds.
Michael, here's the thing about this. When I think about this, all right, the bargain, the grand bargain or whatever we do, there's been the component of borrowing. Now, Moody's and S&P have both said that if we have to borrow for our standard procedure, you know, just basic day-to-day income, that's all the reason they would need to drop us. But if we put some type of tax increase, revenue increase in, would that stop us from sliding farther? Because they've said, look, if you have to borrow money just to get by from month to month, then we're going to continue to drop you.
They're completely right. If we are borrowing to pay our operating costs, we shouldn't be considered good stewards of public dollars. But if we can pass a truly balanced budget, and there is a backlog of $12 billion in bills, a large percentage of those we're paying a high interest rate on, approximately 12% we're paying. If you can issue debt, pay off all of those bills, and then pay back the banks at 3% or 4%, who wouldn't take that deal? Who wouldn't refinance their mortgage if they could lower their interest rate by 5, 6, 7 points? That makes sense. But if you borrow just for day-to-day payment of bills, that is the wrong thing, and I'm sure that would land us into junk status.
And they've said that repeatedly over the years since we haven't had a budget. And you know what's interesting, and I think this is interesting, because of your unique standpoint, first off, certified public accountant. But, you know, some people may forget, if I'm correct, were you the former chairman on the higher education board? Is that right?
Yeah, I was. And so I'm now the state's chief investment officer. And I tell people in state government all the time, you know, we can invest in treasury notes, we can invest in commercial paper and repurchase agreements, but there is no investment the state makes that pays a higher return than an education. And our institutions of higher education in the state are being starved. We're disinvesting.
And we're talking about junk bond status here, too, because I've read two figures, Mike. One that says 5 and one that says 2 universities have junk bond status now. One of those in one published article says, is SIU, is it junk bond status now?
Yeah, 5 of our state universities are now in junk bond status. That means when they go out and they've got a capital project, they want to build a new building, they need to refinance debt. There are a lot of places, institutions, that cannot buy their debt. And that increases their borrowing costs. That rips dollars for the state. It rips dollars out of people's wallets and pocketbooks. For the university, it means they're spending more money paying bondholders than they are actually educating the students or putting money into the local economy. It's just the wrong way to run a state.
You know, it's the irony of this. I think that I was going over with some firemen on the restrictions for their pension retirement, for what places it can and cannot be invested. It's a really interesting piece of reading once you could pretend you're a lawyer for a couple of minutes. But what I find interesting is that you have a reputation for being conservative investing, and one published report cites that for every $1 you spend, you get $28 back. Now, look at it this way. If you are an investing on the behalf of Illinois and you control quite a lot of money on Illinois' behalf, you wouldn't be able to invest it in its own universities because the status doesn't come up to the point in which you would allow us to invest in our own locations.
Yeah, a big irony here. I think our universities are a great investment, but when they're in junk bond status, I'd be prohibited from buying their debt. You know, I've heard talk about, well, we need some short-term pain for long-term gain. And I agree with that. I agree with people's personal finances. You deny yourself something today to have a better retirement in the future. But what we're doing here in this state is we're producing short-term pain that's going to produce even longer-term pain. When our universities, when students are enrolling, when faculty are leaving and fleeing, that is going to mean a darker future, not a brighter one.
Now, another subject, because I'm doggone it, I'm running out of time already, and I hate that when that happens with you, but the other item that I'm watching very closely is what we're anticipating on success for this legislation that you are heavily endorsing, saying, look, these death benefits, $550 million is held from people who have bought, paid for insurance, and then the death benefits never came. $550 million, can it be that much?
That's what we have found. That's when we sent auditors in to 20-some life insurance companies. There are hundreds more out there. We think there are hundreds of millions of dollars more that in policies that people paid for every year, every quarter, every month. They made their payments, and when they died, they expected their loved ones to get what belonged to them. And too many life insurance companies, not all of them, too many withheld those benefits. And all we're saying is we want to go in, we want to look, and if someone made their payments and died, the company has to pay out to their loved ones. It seems like a simple thing. This shouldn't be a tough fight, but the insurance industry has a lot of friends, they spend a lot of money, and they're making it really difficult to do something that most people think is just basic, simple, the right thing to do.
It's interesting, you know, where I come from, this is considered welching on your bet. And there's very few things that damage your character among your peers than being a person who doesn't pay his, whenever he gambles and he doesn't pay his debts.
Yeah, we had two people we discovered recently who named their church as the beneficiary of their policies. But they wanted it to be a surprise. They didn't tell their pastor. Well, after they died, 14 years later, the insurance company finally let us go in and audit their books. We discovered this. We paid the church. He came to a hearing and said, if I owed you money, and I knew you owed I owed you money, but I said, well, you never asked for it back, so I just kept it, you would question my integrity. And you should. And that's what we're saying here with these companies. They know these people are dead. They're making no efforts to reach out to their loved ones and saying, well, they didn't contact us, so we're going to keep it.
Right.
That's not right.
Hey, Mike, I've got to let you go, but let's talk again soon. You and I have not talked a while. Before I let you go today, you know, after Lisa Madigan announcing her reelection intent, Mike, what are your thoughts here? You were elected, was it 2012?
2014. So my term is up in 2018. I very much enjoy this job. We've got a lot more work to do, but I tell people there's plenty of time to talk about campaigns, plenty of time to talk about politics. I travel around the state, and people, I think, they're tired of the constant campaigning. What they want is people to get down to the business of governing, and that's what we're trying to do in the treasurer's office.
I can guarantee you that that was a true statement. I can guarantee you from the people who spoke to me just since Monday, yes.